Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 22, the verses 1 through 14. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 22, the first 14 verses. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. most holy, most righteous, merciful, good-doing, ever faithful, and long-suffering God, there for we and our dear children may still have a place upon this earth. To that end, the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal on the Sabbath day, an opportunity to come up to thy courts. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou richly dwell amongst us, pour out thy Holy Spirit. We have heard in this morning hour of astonishing things. Wilt thou work those wonders in the midst of us and our children, for thy honor and for thy glory. Would thy great and worthy name not be honored when many boys and many girls would receive a new heart from thee, a heart to fear thee, to love thee, to hate sin, a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would thy name not be glorified when many among our youth, when they would be given to make that good choice of a Ruth, which cannot remain hidden, to end their youth, to turn their faces ironward, and be a great blessing for the family circles, for the church, for the school. Would thy name not be honored when the middle-aged in the busyness of life and the elderly ones in the evening of their life, when they would be stopped, when they would be turned, when they would be drawn unto thee, and to become a sire and a seeker, Lord, then surely thy name would be honored and glorified, when also in the life of thy people, when they would be given to experience what that paralyzed man has heard from thy lips, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Lord, wilt thou grant those further leadings? Wilt thou grant that tender, that close, that dependent life at thy footstool, trusting in thee for all our needs? 'Tis written in thy word, a command unto thy church, and those are blessings which thou hast merited for thy church, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace, the seed of thy holy word, may be sown amongst us and our children. Wilt thou remember, help, and bless the consistory. Bless thy word on the Sabbath day. Bless the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, the house visitations, and the manifold labors. Bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word and our Christian school. Remember all those that labor therein. Grant traveling mercies. Remember all the students. In a special way, then, we ask of thee that thou may help our students in this week, those who are called to write their exams. Wilt thou grant them a place on their knees, that they may be given to ask of thee, that thou may help them to be diligent in their studying, that thou may make it easy, and also to remember them when they are called to write their exams. Thou hast granted more talents to the one than the other, but, O Lord, when thou may help them, then it shall be well. Remember thy church all over the earth, the established churches. Wilt thou also remember our community? Wilt thou pour out thy Holy Spirit upon the churches, upon the people? For thee there is nothing too wonderful. Uphold the persecuted church. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants. Remember the team. Remember Bible translators and those that may bring thy holy word to the far corners of the earth. Remember our poor nation that sinks away under thy heavy judgments and so little acknowledgement that thou art the supreme ruler, so little mention of sin, of guilt, a calling to repentance. But, O Lord, may we be given to turning unto ourselves and examine our hearts, personal life, family life, the congregation, whether under thy solemn speaking there has been a turning unto thee and to thy holy word, a repenting of our evil and worldly ways, where thou was written in thy word that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God, O Lord. Wilt thou remember us and our dear children in these solemn times, and that it may please thee to do a great work, then it shall be very clear that it is all thy work and thine alone. We commend unto thee our premier and all those that stand at his side, difficult and trying times, with the governments of the city, also of our little town. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children to the grave. Continue to uphold and remember them. Remember our elderly ones. Remember Bethesda, the staff, and all the residents. Wilt thou remember them for their body and so far that it may please thee? Above all, be mindful of their never-dying souls. We commend the mother, the old mother, the oldest member of the congregation unto thee, who remains in the hospital, who was underwaiting further testing. She is hoping that she may return before her birthday. It is all in thy hand. Then we commend her unto thee. Grant her a place that she may cry as a widow, and that by thy grace to become her husband. Wilt thou remember all under the doctor's care, the different concerns, the different fears, the dreaded disease? Wilt thou surround him with thy care and with thy compassion? Remember the crosses and the burdens. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? A brother elder with his dear wife hope to commemorate on the last day of this week, that thou wast kept, that thou wast spared, that thou hast provided, that thou wast helped in the midst of all their blessings, with all the trials, that they were unable to travel for 40 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Many reasons in the midst of the family circle to erect an Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Wilt thou then grant a day with a broken and a humble heart, with a desire that thou may be glorified? Wilt thou remember all the family circles? May love abound when it is different. Wilt thou grant repentance? Also on the last day of this week, an old father hopes to remember his 85th birthday. Thou knowest the frailty of his mind. Wilt thou remember him together with his dear wife above all things? Grant the one thing needful, Lord, we humbly ask thee for a few words to speak, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou grant empty vessels, the vessels that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may they be emptied, and that the empty vessels may be filled with thy righteousness, that is the merited righteousness of thy dear Son, O Lord. Wilt thou then remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, wonder-doing God? Do wonders amongst us and our children. Prepare us to meet our Maker in righteousness and in peace. Give then a good hour in thy house. Be a surprising God. May it be an unforgettable hour. Oh, wilt thou grant something that we may take home? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 415, the stanzas 4 and 7. Good and upright is Jehovah, in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed, in the way untrod before, and what follows. Psalter 415, the stanzas 4 and 7. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 30, the question and answers number 80, 81, and 82. Question 80, what difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Popish Mass? Answer, the Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have a full pardon of all of our sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not on earth but in heaven, at the right hand of God his Father, and will there be worshipped by us. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priests, and further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ and an accursed idolatry. Question 81, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Answer, for those who are truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened, and their lives more holy. But hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Question 82. Are they also to be admitted to the supper who, by confession and life, declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? Answer, no. For by this, the covenant of God would be profaned, and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore, it is the duty of the Christian Church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven till they show amendment of life. Lord's Day number 30 speaks of the table of the Lord's Supper with three thoughts. First, the heirs concerning the table. Secondly, the guest invited to the table. And thirdly, the watch round about the table. the table of the Lord's Supper, the heirs concerning the table, the guest invited to the table, and the watch round about the table. Thus first, the heirs concerning the table. A beloved congregation, a question and answer number 80 of this Lord's Day was not included in the first edition of the catechism that has been printed, composed by Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus. The first edition came on the market on February of 1563. Also, that edition was translated into Latin, which was the language of the more learned. The second edition was printed in the summer of the same year, 1563. And then we find number 80 included. And when we study history, then it seems to point that it was by the advice of Frederick III that question and answer concerning the Popish Mass would be included, that in clear language the difference may be explained to the Church. The third edition, that was printed in December of 1563. And then it seems that the last words have been added, where we read that the Popish Mass is an accursed idolatry. In December 5 of that year, the Council of Trent has ended their sessions on and off for 20 years. And they have used very strong language to not curse the doctrine of the Protestants, but to curse the people themselves. And to that end, Frederick III, then he felt it was his calling, in very plain language, to tell the Church, the heirs of the Roman Catholic Church. When we read the Catechism, then it is written in a very gentle manner, but answer number 80, that is in very strong language. Frederick III, he was a very mild and God-fearing man. After the Diet of Augsburg, where he was called upon to appear before the great ones of the earth concerning his catechism, and many of his friends, they have advised him not to attend that synod with the fear that he would never return alive. But Frederick III, he felt it was his calling that he may speak as a Martin Luther before the great ones of the earth, and also concerning the scripturalness of the catechism which those two men have composed. And at that meeting, the Lord is risen. For Frederick III, that many of the people, the princes, that have attended with a plan to condemn his catechism, then they were given to see in the time that Frederick III was in that city, what a godly man he was, and that even by his enemies, they had to admit that he was given to walk in the tender fear of the Lord, and he received the name of Frederick the Pious. Then when we have our precious catechism congregation, then we must realize and understand what a bitter strife there was in the midst of the church, where the catechism based upon God's holy word, oh, the Roman Catholics, they have condemned it, especially the high Lutherans at bitter enmity with it. Thus then we can understand what a strife there was in the church. That strife did not pass by the family of Frederick III, because Louis, the oldest son of Frederick III, he was a strict Lutheran. He could not agree with his catechism. And after the death of his father, he has done his utmost to turn everything around. Thus, in the time of the Reformation, much strife in the church, in the family circle. Nevertheless, the Heidelberg Catechism received a place in the heart, in the churches of the Protestants, but also in the heart of God's people. And now the question, young and old, is, has that catechism also become precious for us? Have we become busy? We are already past half. And that first question, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And then by renewal in this Lord's Day, then the instructors are given to speak of such precious things, young and old. Where is our journey to? Boys and girls, have you now received a new heart of the Lord to learn that you need that comfort? Oh, to be a true child of God and to receive the pardoning of sins, young people. Have we made that good choice? Have we turned our faces Zionwards? Have we experienced precious things as they are declared in the catechism, middle-aged and elderly ones? Our time is quickly going on. Already the fourth Lord's Day of this newly begun year. What are we seeking after? Tell me, have you now found the true comfort in the things of the world? Oh, then it may still be declared that there is a Savior for sinners. And now concerning the heirs, question 80, because in the first three editions, then the catechism was not divided into Lord's Days. That has taken place in the fourth edition. And then in a certain sense, since question and answer 80 deals with the heirs concerning the Lord's Supper, than it would have been fitting that it was included in Lord's Day number 29. But now concerning the Popish Mass, and then we must make a separation in the Roman Catholic Church between the Mass and Communion. And the Mass is when the priest, by speaking certain words, at least according to the Church, changes the wafer, the bread and the wine, into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that priest in an elaborate ceremony is given to sacrifice that bread and wine, because they tell us it has become the body and blood of Christ on that altar, that is the Mass. And the communion is when the people in the church, when they come to the altar on their knees, and they are given a wafer before 1962, then the people were not allowed to take partaker of the wine, but that is changed. And now the instructors, with explaining the heir of the church, then they are given to exalt the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to the highest, as with Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thus, in that answer concerning the heirs of the church, then we may hear precious things. And therefore, the instructors, they have started the Lord's Supper, testifies to us that we have a full pardon of sin by the only sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Ah, when we hear of the masses of the Roman Catholic Church, because they have different ones, and that their sins may be paid for, then there is a people upon the earth that have not so many stones to throw. Martin Luther, that was a man that has been taught so clearly that the church is saved by grace alone. And when he has become somewhat older, then he has said once, if you now cut that heart of Martin Luther open, then the Pope will jump out. What he meant to say was that the church is still a falling back and bound to that covenant of works, so busy to bring something along that the Lord may be well pleased. Oh, are there souls that are exercised with those things? And then this answer shall tell us that all our masses, we may say it so, and I think there are souls that understand what I mean, that is all our repentance, our reformation, our tears, our prayers, that we have to experience, as we have heard from Lord's Day number 24, that they cannot be part or a whole of that satisfaction to the justice of God. Thus, the instructor is given to extol that precious name of Jesus, which means Savior. He has come to save His people from their sins, which He Himself has once accomplished on the cross. We read in Hebrews 10 verse 14, and that by one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Christ has cried out the sixth crossword, "It is finished," which he himself has once accomplished on the cross, and that we by the Holy Ghost, then the instructors each time by renewal, and that is what the church learns more and more concerning the means of grace. It needs to be applied by the Holy Ghost, are engrafted into Christ, who according to his human nature is now not on earth, that is against the heir of Martin Luther, but in heaven and at the right hand of God the Father, and will there be worshipped by us. Thus, in short, before in this answer there is spoken of the Popish Mass, then the instructors are given to extol that precious mediator in his meritorial work, merited salvation, and apply salvation. That is the only hope for us and our children, and an opposition. But the Mass teaches that the living and dead have not the pardon of sins. Thus the Mass says that also the dead, that still Masses need to be offered, that Christ needs to be sacrificed on that altar, because that is what the church teaches the people each time that the Mass is celebrated. Then Christ is actually sacrificed on that altar by renewal. And now Mass is not only for the living, but also for the dead, who are in purgatory, and of course, each time with a price. The Mass that fills the coffers of the Roman Catholic Church. Unless Christ is also daily offered for them by the priest, and further, that Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and therefore is to be worshipped in them, so that the Mass at bottom is nothing else but a denial of the one sacrifice and sufferings of Jesus Christ. Is there a people, when they hear that answer, of course, concerning the living and dead, Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, but when we read a denial of that one sacrifice, are there souls that have learned what it is when the Lord works? Then we know we have to do with a condemning law, guilty of all the commandments of God, and with all our efforts, guilty still. But when the Spirit may teach further, and now to learn what it is to sin against the gospel, because with all our efforts in the workhouse, trying to satisfy the justice of God, then we are denying that only sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Oh, we read of that Father in Mark 9, verse 24, "Lord, I believe, Help my unbelief, and to that end, an accursed idolatry. Our second thought, the guest invited to the table. Are there souls that have come up to God's house, that have read Lord's Day 30, that have become exercised therewith, or congregation? Have you never become exercised with Lord's Day 30, a question and answer number 31? Can you so easily say, I am unconverted? The Lord's Supper is for God's people. That is true. But do you really know what you are saying? That you are unconverted without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. And if not converted, then to be sent to hell, where hope shall never come. Prayer need not to be made, where you need not to be exercised with question and answer 81, because shall be forever too late. When there is asked, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted, then the instructors are given to mention precious things, and those are things that we and our children need to die and to appear before our Maker this Lord's Day. 'Tis richly proclaimed that there is a way for us and our children. What an awful thing. We have read together out of Matthew 22 of a marriage feast that the servants were sent out, and they have freely invited, but there were many that refused to come. But there were guests. And then when the king has come, then with joy and with gladness, he was given to see many guests with a wedding garment which they were furnished with. And with grief and sadness, then he has found one that had not a wedding garment. What are we now to understand by that wedding garment? That is justification, and that is sanctification. For whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? For those who are truly sorrowful for their sins. A short statement, but a weighty and a precise statement. It does not say for those who have been truly sorrowful for their sins, but it speaks in the present tense. Thus the instructors are saying, if there have been now convictions and a time that you were troubled and live not so easy, but that it is past and experienced no more, then you are not included in this people but they are given to speak in the present tense. It is true that sorrow concerning our sins, that shall be experienced differently at the beginning when we are standing at the foot of Mount Sinai and we hear the thundering of the louds of the law so loudly, and in the hearts of those that have received a certain opening in the gospel. Nevertheless, those who are truly sorrowful, and may it please the Lord, because are truly sorrowful, that implies a tender and a close life with the Lord. And the closer the sheep may walk with that perfect, spotless shepherd, the more they may be given to see their infirmities. What a blessing it is when in the life of a child of God that sorrow, and I repeat it, experienced in a different way with the further leadings, but to experience, oh, in the beginning, to experience, to have committed so much evil against the mercies of the Lord, but now in the further leadings, after receiving grace, receiving mercy, and then still to do so much evil. Oh, those blessed times when the true child of God may be brought on a low place, then we could also speak of that sorrow that has connection with our second thought. But I read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall mourn for him whom they have pierced. For those who were truly, there is also a sorrow on account of the consequences of sin. Pharaoh, Achan, Saul, Judas, they have all said, I have sinned, but it is clear it was not that true sorrow. It was more a sorrow on account of the consequences of sin than the character of sin in the life of the true child of God. They are given to learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and against who? Against the just and a good-doing God. The psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 3, has declared, I have found trouble and sorrow. There you have the difference. For those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, further described in Lord's Day number 33, when it speaks of the conversion of man, the mortification, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. And the quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. But further, there is a yet. Does not to trust and a knowledge of our misery. Oh, what a sweetness is found in the confessing of our sins before that all-knowing God. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit to lead further. And the Lord has a people upon the earth. Concerning that second point, the third point, that is gratitude. That people may profess before an all-knowing God. It is their desire never to grieve the Lord anymore and to walk in His ways, because they have become precious in good ways. They have learned to love what the Lord loves and to hate what the Lord hates. But now concerning that second point, are there such souls in my midst? That is the point. Oh, it is true. Can also be concerning that first point, whether that sorrow is deep enough. Our instructors, they do not say how deep, but they only speak of truth. Thus, that is a true and an upright sorrow. The Lord is free and sovereign. We may never bind the Lord, but the Spirit shall teach His people from what a great death they shall be delivered from, to receive the pardoning of their sins. But now concerning that second point, are there such souls in my midst? That is the point of stumbling. That you are given to confess, Lord, I know it no more. And to that end, the prayer of the bride, draw me, and we will run after thee. And yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ. Our instructors, they do not leave so much room for that false resting upon emotions, feelings, and convictions. Oh, they are necessary, and they shall be experienced, and shall not be strange to a true child of God. But also in this answer, then they are given to point the child to that only resting ground, and that is the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, concerning the second point, that concerns a knowledge of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now for many a soul that experienced that sincere sorrow, that is now the question. What is it now to receive by the Spirit a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And how far must that knowledge extend? Christ, in the institution of the supper, has declared, do this in remembrance of me. And now seeking souls. And now we have a question that you must answer between the Lord and your soul. Do you now desire Him? Do you hunger and thirst after Him and His righteousness? Do you have a desire that you may know Him more? Then we may say, because we cannot desire after someone whom we do not know. Thus, the necessity that precious Savior, that the Lord has opened His word and his gospel for us, that we are given to see something of that precious Jesus, that we know him in his necessity, his suitability, and his preciousness, and that he can save to the uttermost, that we are given to see that there is such a fullness in that precious Jesus, that he is also able to save me. Then the instructor, then they are given to speak of trust, of that true saving faith. And then the instructors, then they are not describing the measure of that trust, because there is weak faith and there is strong faith. But even that weak faith, when that precious Savior may be revealed, oh, think of that woman in Mark 5 with that issue of blood. And then it is so simply written that she has heard of Jesus. Then she was not yet healed. But when she has heard of the wonderful healings, she was given to believe that he could also heal her. That we call a refuge taken faith, because the instructors, they have added more, and that their remaining infirmities, do you hear it, seeking souls? Oh, sin becomes exceeding bitter, and a child can be so foolish, and they are so foolish, that they first want to be holy, and not so many infirmities, it is true. Oh, what a bitter grief. What a disappointments. What a tears are shed. Oh, there can be times in the life of that people that they are given to beg the Lord whether the Lord is willing to have a little more patience with them. But the instructors, oh, each time by renewal we read that those young men, that they were on the right school, that is the King of Jesus, taught by the Spirit, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire, do you hear it? There you have it. Not only an assured faith, oh, what a blessing and a privilege. I hope that there have been a few souls that have come on their knees when you came home in this morning, and that you have begged the Lord, Lord, may those words that were spoken to that man that had the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. May those words be spoken to me. And then I shall be the happiest soul upon the earth. Because it is sin that causes separation. But our instructors do not only speak of an assured faith, but also of a weaker faith. Because the desire of those souls, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened, and that faith refers concerning the knowledge of the dear Son of God, that with the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the broken bread and the poured out wine, that they may receive the strengthening of their faith, and that they may be instructed. And then thirdly, and that is the proof of the former. That signifies, implies, a close life at the throne of grace. Oh, what people that learn their remaining infirmities. They are given to beg. They are given to cry. And that the sacrament may be used, and not only for the strengthening of faith, but that it may be used as a means in the life of sanctification and their lives more holy. Let us first sing. A Psalter 383. Let us only sing 1 and 5. All that I am I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. And what follows? 383, only 1 and 5. The table of the Lord's Supper. The heirs concerning the table, the guest invited to the table, thus that speaks of the coming to the table. And now thirdly, the watch round about the table, that speaks of the admittance. Concerning the coming to the table, then the instructors, then they have added, but hypocrites. That means to pretend, and that means to act. That is different from being deceived. For the true people of God, how often they are given to examine themselves, Oh, there are times that it is so real, that it is so lively. When the Lord comes over, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord grants that special place at his footstool, when they may be given to glean on the fields of Moab, on the fields of Boaz, then it is so certain and then it is so real. But there is so much that comes up against it. And then when it becomes quiet, riddles, perplexities, what a questions there can be in the life of those souls. And then they are given to beg, Lord, wilt thou come over by renewal, grant some gleaning, speak, confirm what thou was spoken. Thus a difference between one that deceives and an hypocrite. Maybe a soul ask, how was it now with Judas? There is a people that have trouble with that man. He was chosen to be a disciple. He has preached the word, done wonders, cast out devils. Very possible, very likely, that in the beginning he was deceived, maybe resting upon his office, and that he was thinking, when I can preach so well and cast out devils, it must be a sign that I am a true child of God. But office bearers learn that they cannot die with an office. But at the end of the life of Christ, then it became clear that Judas was playing the part of an hypocrite. And when Christ has said that there was one that would betray him, oh, first the other disciples, then Peter did not say, Jesus, Master, that must be Judas. No, is it I? And then Judas, to cover himself, has said the same thing. Then it is clear, think in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he has betrayed his master with a kiss. Thus hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts. Thus that speaks of sincerity. And for the true people of God, they are glad that the Lord knoweth all things. They are given to tell the Lord all. Oh, they have to confess much in a certain sense. Also an actor. When that people think of their prayers, utter words with their lips, and when their heart is not with it, they also need the pardoning of their sins and that precious blood of Christ for their prayers, for their thanksgiving. But that people may be given to confess before the Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the desire of my heart. Thou knowest that I love thee, thy word, thy institutions. Thou knowest that it is my desire, was possible, to never grieve thee no more, Lord. and thou knowest my desire, that thou mayest say to me what thou hast said to that man with palsy, son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. But for those hypocrites, may be a beautiful confession, but not seen so much by the fruits. That is what is referred to such as turn not to God with sincere hearts, eat and drink judgment to themselves, given over to delusion and the hardness of heart. But, of course, man cannot see the heart that is known unto the Lord. And now concerning our last thought, the watch round about the table, are they also to be admitted to the supper also by confession and life? Confession is heard and life is seen, and that concerns the watch round about the table. No, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Therefore it is the duty of the Christian church, according to the appointment of Christ and his apostles, to exclude such persons by the keys of the kingdom of heaven until they show amendment of life. Thus, the wrath kindled against the whole congregation. But let us remember concerning that wrath, then it does not only pertain to the coming to the Lord's Supper, but that pertains to the confession and life of every member. We read in Joshua 7 of an Achan, what he has done, that the Lord no more went up with the army of the Israelites. The wrath of God, when God's house is not honored, desecrated, when the reverence is missing, immodesty, all included in this answer. And the Lord still has a remnant, and the Lord is still working, but in general, is it not still? May we be given to examine ourselves concerning that last question and answer, given to repent. There were times in the church when it was not heard for a certain time that a boy or girl, young person, older one was not converted under the means of grace, that they have come together as a church to examine themselves and to call mightily upon the name of the Lord, and that there may be repentance, and that the Lord may manifest his almighty arm to be given to pray with the psalmist of Psalm 80, verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts. Cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for the fourth Lord's Day, that we could come up to Thy house, a few simple words to speak, albeit who was able to declare the wonders and the riches of Thy grace, well, to be the after preacher. And, oh Lord, convert what is unconverted when there is building upon sandy foundations, wilt Thou uncover it, and wilt Thou remember Thy people. May we be given to resemble more those four friends that have brought their friend to Jesus. We may commence another week. Wilt Thou remember the mothers in the home? Remember the mothers with the unborn? Remember at work? Remember on the way? And remember at school? By renewal, we may ask Thee to help the students to write their exams. Wilt Thou keep from harm and danger? Wilt Thou keep from an unexpected, and above all from an unprepared death? Wilt Thou keep us under Thy kind care and under Thy good protection? Wilt Thou bring us safely to our dwellings? Wilt Thou be our faithful keeper, Israel, during the night watches, and that we may awake refreshed, strength and courage to perform our labors. Wilt Thou forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 56, the stanzas 1 and 2. My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs, and I am blessed. By quiet streams in pastures green, He leads and makes me rest. And what follows, Psalter 56, the stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.